to God. Isn't Jesus wonderful? You may be seated. You know, God's promises are greater than any of your problems. Too many times people think that God has forsaken them when trouble comes. Actually, Jesus said there in John 16:33 that in this life you will have troubles and trials, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You know, the devil tries to convince people that God leaves them as soon as trouble comes along. You've done something that you shouldn't have done. God's left you. But Hebrews 13:5 says that I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, now some people try their best to live a trouble-free life. Somehow, I don't know how they get that idea. They didn't get it from here at Rhema, but they got the idea that having faith in God enables them to live in some kind of utopia world. You know, if you don't know what that means, that means a perfect world. I mean, everything's perfect. And then some people think that it's supposed to be like it was in the Garden of Eden, where everything was perfect. You know, the truth is that God is with us all the time, whether we're going through a problem or whether we're just enjoying life and everything's going good. You know, he's there. You know, when I was in high school and college, and some of y'all can relate to this, we had a saying that said, don't sweat the small stuff. How many of y'all remember that? Don't sweat the small stuff. That means don't worry about that. It's not worth being concerned about. What I'm saying tonight, sweating the small stuff, is I'm talking about the fact that worry, being anxious, being fearful. And I'm not trying to belittle anybody, and you know, because what you're facing is real, and what you may be going through is real. But somehow we forget that these things are small compared to the promises of God. You know, let's look at some scripture. Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all of your care on him, for he careth for you. Casting. That means to throw. That means throw it away. Get rid of it. How many of you go fishing? How many ever cast? And you got bait, but you roll it back in. But you're supposed to cast it out there and leave it. Don't roll it back in. Take it up. You know, many of us, we read these scriptures. We know these scriptures. But we still need to be reminded of them periodically. Peter said to his group there, and Peter, he said, as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to continue to remind you of these things. And I think sometimes some pastors get remiss. They say, well, the people know it. Well, they may know it, but they need to be reminded of it again. Hello? We need to continually renew our mind with the scriptures. You know, instead of getting upset or becoming full of worry, we need to remember what God can do. See, in the natural, it seems like life is just full of burdens. And it is. Man, how many of you, you know, sometimes you just get to the point you feel like, well, everything's against me. Anybody ever get there? Well, I got a few honest people in this crowd. Because I guarantee you all of us have felt that way at some time or another. You know. Jacob, who became Israel, he felt that way. In Genesis 42:36. Now they had gone down, you know, they were in famine and they'd gone down to Egypt. And Joseph, the brother that they'd sold into slavery and told their dad that he had died, you know, he was the prime minister down there in Egypt, and they have food because what God had told him how to do it. And so they had went down there and he'd give them food, but made them, one of the Simeon, stay there, and he was in, put him in prison, you know. But he was supposed to if he come back, they would turn Simeon loose, but he was supposed to bring Benjamin. Now, Benjamin was Joseph's brother. Joseph and Benjamin were the only two that Rachel had. Now, and he said, "You have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And now you want to take Benjamin from me? All these things are against me." Jacob explained, I'm going to read New Living. Jacob explained, "You're robbing me of my children. Joseph is gone. Simeon is gone. And now you want to take Benjamin too? Everything is going against me." And if you recite his life, Esau, his brother, wanted to kill him because he deceived him and took the birthright. Actually, that's what Jacob means, is deceiver, but God changed his name to Israel. His father-in-law, Laban, he tricked him on how many times in business deals, and one of them was over his wife and then over some sheep and all kinds of stuff. Now, his favorite wife, Rachel, had passed away. Jacob had been led to believe that his favorite son, Joseph, was dead, and Simeon was now in prison in Egypt. And, you know, it's pretty easy to say why he could say, "Everything's against me." But you may feel like that too. And you may be tempted to be anxious and worry and get in fear. And if all we had is the natural, then yeah, you got reason to be in fear and in nervous and upset. But God is with you. He is working in your life. He has promised his blessings. You know, we've got to remember that everything around us and everything that's happening is temporary. It's subject to change. What God says never changes. In fact, he said, "Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away." You know, we got to remember that whatever we're going through, we're going through. I like to listen to quartet music and country gospel music, and old Mike Perkey got one of his songs, and "Whatever you're going through, you're going through." You know, and what you're going through is like a mirage. Now you see it, now you don't. Oh, by the way, Roger, I like that CD. Roger sings with a quartet, and he gave me a CD. I like that. It's good. You know, everything is subject to change in the world. Amen. Nothing changes with God. He said it, and it's still the same as when the first day he said it. It never changes. Everything is subject to change. Do you know that most people worry and are concerned about stuff that never happens? A military chaplain decided to keep track of all the different worries that people had based on problems that they brought to him through the years. And here is his chart. Here's what he found out. 40% worry about things that never happen. 30% worry about the past, which cannot be changed. 12% worry about illness that never happens. 10% worry about adult children and friends who are well capable of taking care of themselves. 8% worry about problems that really exist. 8% worry about problems that really exist. So according to his chart, 92% of all of the worries that people worry about and can't control or that don't exist, the truth is it's all rooted in the failure to trust God. 92% of what people are concerned about, actually, it's silly. You know, sometimes some people, you know, they're talking about, oh, I'm trying to get ahead in life. And, you know, and they talking about, well, man, I finally got all my ducks in a row. Look like they got it and succeeded, but somebody shot my ducks. That's the way it seems sometimes. Seems like you come through all of these trials and tribulations and stuff. Seems like you got, you just about got everything set up. And all of a sudden, wham, the devil come in and knock the fire out of you. You know, there you are. You see, what we need to do is to realize that the enemy is going to keep coming at us and keep coming at us and keep coming at us and keep coming at us. We're never going to get rid of him until we get out of this world. Y'all have heard me tell the story. A man come up to my dad one time and said, Brother Hagin, would you pray that I won't have any more trials and tribulations and trouble? He said, do you want me to pray that you'll die? I'm serious. That's my dad. 15 years ago today at 7 o'clock in the morning, he crossed over into heaven. And I had my alarm set for 7:30, but at 7 o'clock this morning, I came wide awake. You know, he was always, people come up to him and he'd say stuff like that to him because then he would talk to him. But what he was doing is trying to get their attention. What I'm doing tonight is trying to get your attention to realize that the enemy is coming at you continually to kill, steal, and destroy. But we have to believe that the promises of God are greater than anything that he can throw at us. If you won't give up on God, he won't give up on you. You know, life is full of stuff that can make you break out in a sweat. I mean, if you think too much about it, you know, think about something. And I'm not asking for any pats on the back or anything. But my office is over there, and I'm called the president of this Rhema Corporation, 501c3 Corporation. Nonprofit religious corporation. There's 350 some odd schools that have been, that are on, that have been approved, and I think 250, and I think 230 some odd are in operation right now. The rest of them are not in operation yet, but they've been approved, and they will be eventually, you know. You know, you just don't say you're going to have a school and start it and without doing a lot of groundwork and preparation work before it starts. I know I started this one 45 years ago, Raymond. And then I've got the church, and we've got our television and our radio and all of our publications and our CDs and the Raymond Ministerial Association and all of that. You know, I believe there's a, you know, there's 200 employees at work here. And the finances for everything to keep all this stuff going and everything else. I mean, it's enough to make you break out in a sweat if you just look at it from the natural. Because, you see, we just believe God that people are going to send money in. We don't have, you know, you can't make any projections like you do in the business world. I just believe God every day, we say it. Many people that know, that have been with me when I pray over my food, or when we're on the team that travels with us on the aircraft, when I pray, I make a confession, a certain amount of money coming in every month. I'm not going to tell you what it is because it'll blow most of you away. But you see, Lynette and I, Craig, Denise, we don't worry about it. We're concerned, and we do the necessary things. There's necessary things that you can do in the natural, but then you believe God. We just believe God. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to sweat it. I'm just going to believe God. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. You know, we just got to keep in mind that no matter what it is that we face, no matter what the situation, God always has a remedy. Always has a remedy. Always has an antidote, if you want to say so. See, if we're not careful, we look at ourselves, sometimes we get disappointed. We look at circumstances and we get discouraged. We look at others and we become disillusioned. We look at God and we're delivered. See, if you dwell too much on the stuff that's going on around you and all of this circumstance and situation, actually, it begins to magnify until it looks like it's bigger than God. See, we often allow these things that we're facing to become magnified unto unrealistic proportions in our own mind. And we all know the statement, making a mountain out of a molehill. Now, everybody's situation that you have and that you're going through, it's real. Yes, it's real. But it may not be as big as you're making it out to be. How many of you have ever done that? We all have. You see, we need to be alert that the enemy will come. The only thing he can do is work on your mind. Amen. That's why you need to keep your mind, he said, keep your mind renewed by the word. You know, but the only way he can get to you is through the ear gate and the eye gate. And if somebody's talking a bunch of unbelief and trash, just get out. Move. Get away from it. You don't have to listen to it. If somebody comes up and starts talking, say, well, have you heard so and so? Hey, just tell them my ears are not garbage cans. I'm not interested. Come on now. We need, you know, if something is distracting you from the word, then you need to get away from it. Don't listen to what somebody's saying about, well, you know, I know you believe in God, but you know my Aunt Mary, you know, she had the same thing going through, and you know what happened to her. Anybody ever heard anything like that? Yeah. It's all, the devil will always have somebody to come around to tell you why it can't be done, to try to get you to begin. See, if they can get you out of the arena of faith over into the arena of reasoning, the enemy can pull you away from what the blessings of God. There is nothing that the word of God will not come against. Now, when does the enemy like to hit us the hardest? If we've been pushing it really hard and we're tired and weak in body, he likes to come at you. You know, another thing that he'll do, if you've been disappointed about something, suffered a disappointment, we all have. When you're hurting, whether physically or in other ways. See, we need to realize, when you realize these things, then you know how to combat it. You know, to be pre-warned is to be forearmed. You know, one of the things, when you're all alone by yourself somewhere, that's when the enemy sometimes really, really hits you. In the middle of the night, when you've been offended about something. If you get offended, go read my book, How to Avoid the Trap of Being Offended. It's back there in the bookstore. In fact, if you were here at church, you heard me do the 5 lessons on it. You see, if we're not careful, the problem becomes larger in our mind than what we think God can handle. When you dwell on thoughts, they become bigger than they really are. You ever notice a shadow is bigger than the object? Anybody ever notice that? The shadow will be bigger than the object. How many of you have ever looked at a shadow? All right, if you're walking down the street. All right, you can see a shadow here. Now, see a shadow. And it look, man, that shadow is going, I don't know how many feet that is. And I'm not that tall. But it goes from here over to there. Let's see, 3, 6, 9. See, my shadow was about 9 feet long there. Well, I ain't but 6'1". Get what I'm talking about? How many get what I'm talking about? The enemy likes to magnify your situations, your circumstances, and all your stuff so that you begin to think of it bigger than it really is. But nothing, say this with me, nothing that the devil can bring is bigger than God. Hallelujah. You see, we have a choice. We can either meditate and think about our problems until it devours us, or we can meditate on the Word of God, the Scripture. Corrie Ten Boom said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." No, you don't always going to know what's going to happen, but if you know God and you follow Him, then don't be afraid. Nothing to be afraid about. You know, God is for us, and when we dwell on him, he does more for, he can do more for us than anything. You know, God promised to bless those that trust him. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along the river bank with roots that reach deep into the water. I'm reading NLT. Such trees are not bothered by heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. If you plant it in the Word, you don't worry about all that stuff. That's what this scripture is saying. We look into God's Word. We get the proper perspective. Even in the worst case scenarios, if we place our trust in God, he'll remove the burden. He'll take care of us. If you got a problem, God's got a promise. If you got a situation, God's got a solution. If you got a crisis, God cares. When you're hurting, God heals. When you're anxious, God gives you an assurance. In times of lack, God will provide. When you're disappointed, God reminds you of your destiny. Come on now. I'm preaching better than you're responding right now. You know, a couple of people, they owned a commercial building, and half of it they used for their own dental practice, man and lady. They lost their renter that they used to help pay they used that extra income to help pay for repairs and all kinds of stuff and other bills. And so they lost their renter, and the real estate agent said, oh, they ain't no use to advertise it. Nobody's renting right now, and so forth and so on. So the lady, she's got really concerned. She was really worried about it. So she went down to the local pool, YWCA pool, and started swimming laps. And while she was swimming, she was thinking about this. And so she started thinking about God. And she started with A, and she went through all 26. I don't know what she got for Z, but she went, and by that time she felt really good. A little short time later, a physical therapist rented the building when they said nobody was renting, you know. And I got to thinking, you know, you can think about this and look at this. Use the alphabet. If you get in a crisis, use the alphabet. God is our advocate. B, God is our blessed hope. C, he cares. D, he's our deliverer. E, he's ever present. He never leaves us. F, he's faithful to perform what he said. G, God is greater than anything we can face. You know, I mean, you just have to go through and think of some words that, I mean, that's a good exercise, your mouth. Somebody might want to sit down and do it. And then when the enemy starts bombarding you with stuff, just pull it out and start reading it. Said, this is what my God is. This is what my God can do. And you can't do anything that can keep him from delivering me. You know, if God began a work in you, he'll finish it. So don't get concerned. You know, Philippians 1:6, we all know it. I am certain that the God who began a good work within me will continue to work until it's finally finished. And on the day when Jesus Christ returns, as we're looking at this and looking at the greatness of God and focusing on God, you begin to realize that what it means here, I am certain that he will continue to work till it's finally finished on the day when Christ returns. He says that he's going to continue to work on us till he returns. Instead of pondering on your problem, think on the promise. Instead of looking at your situation, look at the victory. Don't look at the problem. Look at the greater promises of God's word. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's promises are greater than my problems. Or yours either. I can say this with great confidence tonight. No matter what you're facing, God's promises are greater than anything you're facing. Everybody stand up and praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we've reminded these people for a few minutes about the greatness of you, the greatness of your promises, the greatness of your word. And Father, may we never let the enemy magnify the problem so that we can't see the promise. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, praise God. Amen. Anybody get anything out of this? Just remember, the promises of God are greater than anything the enemy can throw at you. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. If you happen not to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then to get in on what we were talking about, you got to be in the family of God. And you do that through being born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here, we want you to know him before you leave. If you're here and you know what it is to serve God, but you know you haven't been doing what you're supposed to do, you need to rededicate your life, then the ladies are here, the men over here. If you need Christ, if you need to rededicate your life, or you need prayer for anything, you want to receive the Holy Spirit, or you need somebody to agree in prayer with you for something, you come down here, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. Amen? Hey, first-time guests, we're so glad to have you with us today. If you're looking for a church home, why don't we say, church, welcome home. Just come on and join our family. We're having a great time living life unlimited around here with God. Connection team, go find those people and take them to get a special gift that we have put together for them. So we're so glad to have you with us tonight. So, and just come on back. We're going to be here Sunday morning right here. Amen. And don't forget about the membership class. When is that coming up? This Sunday. That's what I thought. Yeah. Membership is important. You know, if you expect a church to help you, then you need to be a part of it. You know, that's all it is. You'll learn about being, I better keep my mouth shut, Bill. I'll just get a, me and you get on it. We ride the same horse, you know. I mean, I've been around this all my life, you know. People that once come to, remember my dad was a pastor when I was a kid, and then I was associate with my father-in-law, and people, they leave the church, and then they start going to another church, but then they call your church and want to come in and talk with you. And you say, well, y'all are going over there. Yeah, but they don't counsel, and they don't give spiritual guidance like you people do. Well, you should have stayed here, because that's where you're going. That's where you get your help. Amen. That's what being a member is about. Okay. All right. Hey, remember all the announcements. Shake hands with somebody and say, no problem's going to get me down, because God is greater. We'll see you Sunday right here. God bless. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, salvation, rededication, Holy Spirit, want somebody to pray with you for the Holy Spirit, healing, make no difference. Come on down here right now. God bless.